You're listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim. To find out more, go to calvaryanaheim.org. And now, here's Pastor James.
So to kind of summarize here what we've just studied about the gifts of the Spirit, we're to stick with our own gifting from God, and we're to use that gift in faith. In faith. So we don't just pick a gift and start doing it. We receive the gift in faith, and then we activate that gift through obedience. In faith. Trust the Lord. Move out in faith. It's faith every single time. Every time. Every time I get up here, I have to have faith that God is going to speak His word through me to you in the way that you need to hear it. It's faith. I start focusing on myself, focusing on performance, comparing myself to other people and their giftings, and especially in this day and age, this post-COVID time where you guys have access to every preacher in the universe. And I start comparing myself to this person or that person, and I can get all discouraged if I'm in the flesh. But in the spirit, I say, no, God's given me a gift for the people that He calls me to minister to. And therefore, I'm going to just operate in that gift by the grace of God and in faith. And the more faith I have, the more confident I am. Praise the Lord. And so it is with all of the gifts, that we are to use these gifts in faith, not comparing ourselves to others, but just move out and do what God has called you to do. All right, let's move over then to Ephesians chapter 4 now, verses 7 through 16. You're going to see very similar themes in all of these sections of Scripture. Ephesians 4, 7. This is the Apostle Paul writing now to the church in Ephesus, and he writes, starting in verse 7, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Well, there it is again, a measure. "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." This is just a quote, and basically it's saying that Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, right? First, before he ascended into heaven, he went into the lower parts of the earth, the center of the earth. He preached to the people there. And then, boom, he ascended into heaven, and he came into heaven a victorious warrior. He won. He defeated the enemy at the cross. He defeated death, and death will be the final enemy to be completely vanquished as we get our eternal bodies. It's going to be wonderful. And he came home in great victory, like a general coming home from a war victorious, who has all the spoils of war and shares those spoils with his friends and other people. He says, "Here, have some gifts. These are the gifts I have for you from the spoils of war." And so Jesus gave gifts to men. And it says now, in verse 9, it says, "Now this he ascended," what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He has vanquished the foe and received his rightful place as king." Verse 11, "And he himself," Jesus, "gave some to be apostles," meaning sent out ones, church planters, if you will, "some prophets," people who receive messages from God and deliver them or preach the word of God, "some evangelists," these are those who are winning souls, they win converts for the Lord, "and some pastors," these would be the overseers, also called bishops and elders in the Bible, "and teachers," those who expound and explain the word of God. Verse 12 gives us the purpose of these positions. Verse 12, it says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." So God has called me to be a pastor teacher so that I can equip you for the work of ministry. so that you can go out and do what God has called you to do. Equip you in the Word of God. And this is really the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We read on, middle of verse 12, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Until when? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we, the church, the body of Christ, are to continue working towards maturity through the utilization of the gifts of the Holy Spirit until we become like Christ. And that's when he comes back, because when we see him, we will be like him. Beautiful. Now, verse 14, that we should no longer be children. God wants us to mature. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting or conspiracies. He doesn't want us listening to lies, to false teaching. This is why we need to know the Word of God and be familiar with it, so that we can recognize false teaching when we hear it and not be deceived by it. Now, if you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Holy Spirit, and you're just walking after him and surrendered and following him, being led by the Spirit, you'll know. You will know in your heart, man. You will hear false teaching and you're just like, I don't know. But the flesh is going to be drawn to it. And so we've got to stay in the Spirit and be cautious. Amen? All right. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So back to the body analogy. And it's so important for every part to do its share for the benefit of the entire body, right? Back to the feeding analogy. If my hand rebels and says, no, I'm not going to feed the mouth, I'd rather feed the other hand instead. And that's not going to work out well for the whole body, is it? And the hand that is rebelling will even suffer from that, not getting the nutrients that it needs. And so we each need to do our share. This isn't a one-person show. This is a group effort. We are interdependent upon each other. And this is why we're emphasizing this as part of our mission and vision. We will suffer, we will wither away and fade away as a church if we're not doing our part together as the family of God, as the church of Jesus Christ. And so, do your part, friends. Do your part. So vital, so important. So the purpose of the gifts here are explained here, right? Edification of the body of Christ, the church. We're to be built up in the love of God, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We're wanting to look more and more like Christ. And yes, we want the expansion of the body of Christ. We want to bring in new believers. We want to invite people to church who don't know the Lord. And we want to deliver the gospel to them and invite them to come to know the Lord so that the body of Christ grows, right? Grows. But we first really need to attend to, you know, growing ourselves in love. This is not an indictment right now. There's so much love here, and I just appreciate what God's doing. But we want to keep growing and keep moving in that direction. Amen? Christ has given each of us a measure of grace in the form of a gift so that we can mature the body as a whole, we can edify the church, and we can edify one another. All right, we're going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now. And this is just high level, right? We could dig so deep into each of these passages of Scripture, especially this next one, 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go over it. We're doing the overview. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," Greek word is pneumatikos, for spiritual. You could take out the word gifts there. It's probably in italics in your Bible. "Now concerning spiritual. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Hey, don't be ignorant about this. There's a lot of ignorance in the church about the spiritual gifts. But you are not to be ignorant about these things. You're to look into these things, learn about these things, grow in these things. Verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles," that's past tense, "carried away to these dumb idols," because that's what Gentiles do, they worship idols, "however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, friends, there are those that will say that certain gifts, oh, that's of Satan. They'll even say that's of Satan. If the person who's exercising the gift is proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and not cursing him, be careful of saying that that's of Satan. You're speaking about a child of God. And as Chuck said in his sermon I was listening to earlier, my God's bigger than that. Than to let you be deceived so easily, a child of God. When you're just reading the scriptures going, oh, wow, he talks about miracles here. I'm going to pray and do a miracle. And you're just, oh, you know, the Lord performs a miracle through you. And then people say, that's of the devil. And you're like, oh, is it? I didn't know. I was just trying to help somebody, you know. But the Bible's teaching us here that, hey, verse 3 again, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." So that's on one side. You know a false teaching if they're denying Jesus Christ, saying he's something less than he is, he's the Son of God, then watch out. But it also says here, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Remember Peter's proclamation. Peter, Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And all the disciples start arguing and trying to figure, you know, "Oh, this is what they say," and stuff like that. And he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but your Father who is in heaven." You see, no one can say that with conviction and be of the devil. But they're saying it by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." There's going to be an emphasis here right now on the unity of the body and what makes us one, even though we are diverse. Like Bono said in that U2 song, "We are one, but not the same." And so it says here, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the gifts, we've just looked at some of those. The word Greek in Greek is charisma. There's actually 19 specifically mentioned, but this would not be an exhaustive list. But the same Spirit. And then verse 5, it says there are differences of ministries. Ministry means service. So there's diversity of services to the Lord. For example, there's different ages and stages that people minister to. Babies, children, teens, adults, young adults, elderly people. There's different gender, right? Men's groups, women's groups. There's different abilities. Some people have disabilities, and there are people who are gifted at ministering to those with disabilities. Some people are creative, and so they have creative ministries. They may write or make music. They might do art, right? Different ministries there. And there's administrative and organizational ministries. But the same Lord. Verse 6, "And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all things in all. So you see, it goes at the top here, there's gifts. And within those gifts, well, there's ministries. And within those ministries, there's activities or operations. The Greek word is energema. I don't think I'm saying that right, but I'm going to say it with authority. Energema. Energies. Right? So, for example, we have teaching, right? The gift of teaching. There might be 10 of us with a gift of teaching, but somebody has really got the gift for the little kids. Oh, they can teach the little kids and just rock it. And it's just like a Holy Spirit gift. And then someone else, they've got the gift for teaching a different group of people. And so you get the idea, so forth, but it's all one gift, different ministries. And then you may have people, and I saw this a lot as a principal of a school, a Christian school, and I would see these teachers who had the gift of teaching, and it was all the gift of teaching to the same ministry, children, and yet some of them had this incredible gift of doing object lessons. And they could just think of all these object lessons and illustrate it, and, you know, and it was amazing. Mr. Monomog, if you remember him, he was an amazing teacher using object lessons. And then others were really good at just storytelling and getting the attention of the classroom through storytelling. So same gift, same ministry, similar age group, right? Different operation of the same gift, diverse. So there's a ton of diversity. And isn't this our God? Look at the plants that he created and the trees. The variety, the diversity, the animals, even each of us, where they can make facial recognition for billions of people, and you never get one that's exactly the same. That's our God, a God of variety. And so within the body of Christ, he says, you guys need to be interdependent upon each other. And to make sure that happens, I'm not going to make any one of you exactly the same. And none of you are going to get all the gifts. So you're going to have to rely on each other to be the most, to be the best that you can be, the most effective. We have to rely on each other. And it's pride that keeps us from doing that. And so let's not be prideful, but let's rely on one another and recognize how each part is important to the whole. Amen? Notice how it's the same God. First it says it's the same Spirit, verse 4. And then it says it's the same Lord. And then it says it's the same God. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all here. They are one, and they are actively involved in our ministries and our giftings. And so our unity is in God. It's not in our gifts and abilities. We celebrate diversity, but we don't celebrate the way that the world does, right? The world celebrates diversity sometimes with sin. Let's be all inclusive. Yes, we want people to love. Make them feel included. But we do not accept sinful lifestyles and sinful behaviors and say it's cool, it's good. It's not cool, it's not good. As we've mentioned before, we want to be a church where people are safe and hopefully comfortable repenting of their sins, where they don't feel like we're going to look down our noses and judge them as they confess and repent. But we don't want people to feel safe and comfortable in defiance against God and remaining in their defiance. And so there's lots of diversity in the body of Christ. There's a diversity of gifts, but we are united by Jesus. That's who we have in common. That's who we have in common. You notice that these big crusades, like the Harvest Crusade, the Billy Graham Crusade, when it used to happen, you know, Franklin Graham now, that these thousands of churches will get involved and they'll come together. They'll put aside their doctrinal differences and things because what do they have in common? Jesus and the gospel message. That's what they have in common. And so Jesus, we are one in Christ despite our differences in our giftings. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation is just an exhibition, a revealing. It's like the wind, right? We're not usually mindful of the atmosphere, but when the air moves, we think about it, we notice it. So it is with the Holy Spirit. He's always there, he's always present, but sometimes he moves. And we feel his movement and we become aware of him. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you'll hear us use that language when we say, Lord, we just pray tonight that you would move in our midst, that you would manifest your presence to us. Because we know he's there, but oh, how we want him to make us aware of his presence. Amen? Like, man, the Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit is moving. So verse 7 again, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for the benefit of everyone. For to one is given the word of wisdom, the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now we're going to continue this next week, and we're going to get into a little bit more into these different giftings that are listed here. But I want to really emphasize in closing verse 11. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Let's not forget that as we are tempted to compare ourselves among ourselves and think that this gift is more important than that gift and et cetera, et cetera. But to remember that it's God who gives the gifts. And he distributes them as he wills, as he wills. It's up to him. And in fact, people who have certain gifts, let's just take the gifts of healings, for instance. Someone has a gift that when they pray over people, more people get healed than with other people who pray over people. I would say, well, that's a gift of healing that person has, but not everybody that they pray for gets healed. We went and saw this evangelist in Colorado. Mario Murillo, we went as a tent, these tent revivals, and people were getting healed. I mean, seriously healed. It was no gimmick. These were people that, you know, were good friends with the people that were there, and they knew these people, and they knew that there were problems. And there were healings. It was really astonishing to see. But I tell you, I got more excited for the people getting saved at the end, who are coming forward, than I did watching someone get healed. In fact, you can watch so many healings after a while that you're almost like, eh. I mean, that's awesome, Lord, but we're all going to get healed when we get to heaven. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. But you see, he has this particular gift, but not everybody got healed. Why? Because it's not up to him. It's up to God. And God has chosen to use him more than others to bring healings. But he can't pick and choose. He's got to listen to God. He's got to listen to the Lord, because it's God who distributes. And so he can give someone special gifting for this, that, or the other. But he also chooses to the extent and degree and who will be blessed by that gifting and who will not. So we operate in faith. And we listen to the Lord. We listen to the Lord. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when the Apostle Paul is introducing the letter, he says, I thank God that you lack in no gift. Wow. They lacked in no gift. The gifts were in operation within their church. That's a commendation. But remember that the book was written to correct them, because there were abuses. They weren't quite doing it right, and they were missing a certain point, which was love. But my desire for our church, Calvary Chapel Anaheim, is that as many gifts as possible would be in operation in our church, so that it could be said of us, they lack in no gift, but that love is at the center. Amen.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you, to let us know how God has touched your life through this program, or to submit a prayer request. Simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.